the Quality News Network. Stocks bounced back today, closing above 1,200. We'll have the numbers from Wall Street.
This is the Quality News Network. Saddam Hussein's vice president was hanged early this morning. He was convicted, as was Hussein, of crimes against humanity and the deaths of more than 100 Iraqi villagers in 1982. Also in Iraq, a car bomb this morning detonated near a Baghdad police station, killing at least 8 and wounding another 17. In other sectarian violence around the country today, 2 Iraqis were killed, 14 wounded. In an address yesterday marking the 4th anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq, President Bush warned Americans against pulling out of the country too soon. He also asked Americans to be patient and allow a security surge in Iraq to show results. More than 100 anti-war protesters were arrested yesterday in San Francisco and New York City. In another military tribunal in Guantanamo Bay, a Yemeni terrorist confessed to planning the attack on the USS Cole and 2 American embassies in Africa. The trial of Walid bin Attash has been closed to public scrutiny. The Pentagon released a transcript of his testimony. At least 62 elderly Russians died this morning following a fire in a retirement home. Some 27 others were injured. The senior citizens facility is located in a rural area. It took almost an hour for firefighters to arrive at the scene. In Siberia, rescuers have found one coal miner alive and continue to try to reach 4 others trapped underground following a methane gas explosion yesterday. 106 miners have already died. The incident is Russia's worst mining disaster in a decade. In Beijing today, North Korea walked out of 6-party disarmament talks and said it would not return until the U.S. freed up $25 million in a frozen Macau bank account. The international talks are aimed at convincing North Korea to abandon its nuclear weaponry program. North Korean negotiators also charged Japan of trying to undermine the talks by demanding Pyongyang release kidnapped Japanese citizens. North Korea admits it has a policy of abducting Japanese to train Korean spies. However, Pyongyang claims it has already released all kidnapped Japanese. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Stay tuned. Science and business are next.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank. SBA Preferred Lender and Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
Neuroscientists from Northwestern University say they have proof playing music increases brain power and the ability to hear. Their study indicates musicians have an improved ability to recognize vocal nuances as well as better reading skills. Honda is recalling 166,000 vehicles in America to repair defective fuel pumps. Models being recalled include several versions of the Accord, the Odyssey, and the Acura. A private investor group is acquiring shipping company EGL. The price tag is about $1.7 billion. A federal appeals panel rejected a class action suit against investment banks involved in the Enron scandal. The court said individuals can file private lawsuits against the banks. Americans lost more than $40 billion, much of it in pension funds, when Enron went bust 6 years ago. The Hooters chain is opening the first of 5 restaurants in Israel this summer. The Israeli that bought the Hooters franchise said the menu will not be kosher and the restaurants will not be located near religious neighborhoods. Light sweet crude is trading at $56.79 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold at $655.30 an ounce. You can find more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
1, 3, 1, 2, 2, 2, 4, 9, 8.
And you're on with Joe Vecchio this morning, and Joe will be right with us in just a second. We're going to take a little news break, since you just listened to the news, and we'll be right back with the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, I guess that was the intro. I don't know what the hell's going on, ladies and gentlemen. I was just ready to go on the air, and every light on my modem went dead. And everything just died. How is everybody doing? Wake the hell up. I wish my internet service would wake the hell up. It's really frustrating, ladies and gentlemen, because you get there and you get ready and just something happens that you don't expect and it just kind of throws you off your whole set. How is everybody doing today? It is a beautiful, lovely, sunny day here in Chicago. My name is Joe Vecchio, and this, since we didn't play the regular intro, and I'm not really sure what the heck is up with that, is the Cup of Joe Radio Show. And I speak about working people's issues. For those of you who are just calling in or just listening in for the first time, people listening in their iTunes, and of course I have my regulars out there. How is everybody today? What the hell was I doing? What the hell was I doing? I was looking at some of the reports they had, or some of the websites out there, some of my regular websites, concerning yesterday being the 4th anniversary of the Iraq War, and some of the things that the right-wing blogosphere, as well as in the so-called professional media, were saying in the aftermath of the quick victory in Iraq. And it's really, really kind of disturbing to go through all that and look at it, because it wasn't just so much that they were wrong, but that they were just totally humiliating and belittling anybody who disagreed with them. And this is a perfect quote, because the person they love to bitch about the most is Bill Clinton, right? This is what Hindraker from Powerline wrote. He said, "I don't think we're at the point where Bill Clinton can officially be called a traitor, but he certainly is making a career out of giving aid and comfort to our enemies." Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. As a veteran, as a soldier, you swear an oath, and you swear an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. You do not swear an oath to support and defend the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or George W. Bush or Bill Clinton or whoever the president has to be. And who are you pledging? Are you swearing that oath to support the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bush administration, the leadership of the Republican Party, and their financial backers are that enemy. And they have been for quite some time. And actually, the conservative movement completely is anti-American and against everything this country believes in. It's the movement, ladies and gentlemen. They keep trying to say, well, we didn't have the right person. You know, when that guy fails, some other guy will come up, and then we'll go, yay, conservative, until he fails, and then we'll just say, well, it was his fault. It's a never-ending pattern. It's a never-ending pattern. And I really, you know, there are times when I'm just speechless about it, because people are so obviously wrong about such important things. I mean, okay, granted, it's one thing to expect this kind of stuff from the Bush people and their financial supporters, because that's what they do. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they kill. That's what they do. That's what we expect out of them. But from the professionals in the media, the ones who were supposed to keep track and call BS when it's out there, we expected better of them, and we didn't get it. And ladies and gentlemen, if the time ever comes where we put these people on trial, the Bush people and all of their immediate backers and supporters, if that ever comes, then some of the people in the press I wouldn't say the right-wing blogosphere, because they're just a bunch of schmucks anyway. But I think some of the people in the professional media ought to be taking the case and ought to be put on the docket to find out, what were they thinking? Why would anybody in their right mind think that invading Iraq, which had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11 and never did, why would anybody think that was a good idea? Why would anybody think it would turn out so easily? That it would be over in the 2 weeks, and that was it? That's all we'd have to do? Why would anybody think that? Everybody got, you know, pumped up because of 9/11. Of course, that was almost 2 years after 9/11 that the war started, but a year and a half, I guess. And you would have think we would have calmed down by then, but no. You know, and it was 9/11, and then the first word, I think it was maybe a couple of weeks after. I don't remember how soon it was, but I heard the word Iraq tossed in there. And as soon as I saw that word, I said, we're going to war with Iraq. And I kept telling people it's inevitable. People kept telling me, well, we can stop it if we... No. It's just like the whole thing with Iran, you know. Now, can we possibly stop the war in Iran? I think we have a better chance of doing that now. But you know what? If you leave it up to the Bush administration, if you give them any opening at all, they'll just do it. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do it in the midst of all this stuff going on with Gonzalez. Because that's what Republicans are very, very good at, ladies and gentlemen, distracting everybody. That's what Ronald Reagan used to do when he was governor of California, the manufactured riot at Berkeley. And I've got some eyewitness accounts of that, and it was a manufactured riot. And while all that was going on, Reagan raised taxes. You know, he goes, you know, if you're a good Republican, you can't raise taxes. But if you do it right, you do it on the sly. Ladies and gentlemen, people who were so wrong, and I'm talking about people in the press, who were so wrong about such an important issue shouldn't be allowed to work in the media anymore. They should be fired or they should just resign. But, of course, they can't do that because they make a lot of money. We make a lot of money. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, with the subscription rates of newspapers dropping like, and the ratings for a lot of the cable news even starting to go down, you wonder where that money's coming from. And I'll give you a big part of it. The money's being stolen. And it's being stolen from you and from me. Imagine, again, every day, ladies and gentlemen, imagine that George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, the entire administration, the Republican leadership and their financial backers are right there in your house, robbing you blind. Imagine that, because that's exactly what they're doing every day. I got more on this issue, and hopefully I'll be a little bit more oriented in the second part of the show, or in the second quarter of the show. Give me a call, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4, head on, and we can talk about it. We'll be right back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive. Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
This is Cindy Sheehan. George Bush, Dick Cheney, and others launched a war that took my son's life. Strong evidence suggests that in promoting the war, they lied to Congress and the American people, and that in conducting the war, they have targeted civilians, hospitals, and journalists, used illegal weapons, imprisoned without charge, tortured and spied on Americans without court approval. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Ask your Congress member to begin impeachment proceedings against George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, the number to call in, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4, head on, and give me a call. There's a lot of stuff to talk about going on today. And send me an email, joe@cupjoe.com, and just if you got any news you want me to try to talk about on the air, I don't generally check it during the show, of course, but if you find something, just give me an email. Also, if you're just listening, and I've said this before, if you're just listening, give me an email, and in the subject matter, write, I'm listening. And you don't have to write anything else, you don't have to write anything in the body if you don't want to. Just in the subject, write, I'm listening. Because that's what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen, is we're making sure that we have some evidence to show when investors come around and say, listen, we have, and this is why we have a listenership. And I really know for a fact that that for every person that does email, there's probably maybe 50 to 100 people who aren't. And it's to those 50 to 100 that I'm talking to, the ones who are at least capable of sending an email. And if you're listening to this on your computer, I'm sure that in some way, shape, or form, you have access to an email account. But give me an email, joe@cupjoe.com. Yes, Betsy, we know you're listening. Betsy is one of our friends over in the Head On Radio chat room, which you can get to by going to headonradionetwork.com and then scrolling down, and on the right you'll see the chat room link. And you can get in there and talk to some of the smartest peoples on the Internet, such as our good friend Ray Hinckley from unreportednews.net, my sponsor for the Cup of Joe radio show. What was I talking about? You know, it really bugs me, and it really makes boggles my mind to think that people still fall for the BS. And I wonder what George Bush would have to do, what Dick Cheney would have to do, what some of these people would actually have to do to make some of these people realize that they're being screwed over by these people. And, you know, I've said this before, there are basically three categories of people who vote Republicans. There's the ones who are in on the scam, there are the ones who want to be in on the scam, and there are those who aren't aware that they're being scammed. And when it gets to the point, ladies and gentlemen, where some realization comes in that they're being scammed, excuse me, you would think that they would start to change their mind and think, you know, maybe these guys were trying to screw us around after all. But for a lot of people, that's, you know, the evidence was there. The evidence was very clear. I mean, not just about the Iraq war, but a lot of different things, but they just kind of blew it off. And you keep wondering what they'll have to do. You know, I joke around when I say imagine the Bush administration in your house every day stealing your money, but is that what it's going to have to take? Are they going to have to literally go door to door and rob you? And the thing about it is it's not just taking your money. Because they're calling for you to send your sons, send your daughters to go to Iraq. Well, they're asking, maybe. Well, actually, what they're mostly telling you to do is go shop, because, you know, the guys are in there. But those who are already in the service, if your son or your daughter is in the service, they've just pulled them out, they put a gun to their head and put a bullet through their brains. That's exactly what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen. They're killing our soldiers. Now, maybe you think, you know, that's just the way things are, and that things happen in war, blah, 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 blah. But you never go to war unless you're absolutely certain that's your last resort, that there's no other way. This was never a last resort for these people. This was always a first item. According to, I forget his name, the Treasury Secretary who wrote the book later on. He said that long before 9/11, from the second that these guys took power in 2001, they were talking about going after Iraq. And I don't know why, ladies and gentlemen. I am not a psychiatrist. Like I said, I'm not a psychologist. I can't get into their heads. I can't understand what their real motivations are. I'm not in on their innermost secrets. I don't attend their secret council meetings where they discuss the stuff that they really want to do. But whatever the motivations behind it, what they're doing is illegal. And day in and day out, more and more evidence is coming out, and stuff that we already knew. I mean, you know, just by based on what we had observed from them in the past, stuff that we already knew what was going on. But more and more evidence day in day out is surfacing about this administration and about the people behind it. And even so, some people still just won't give it up. Excuse me a second. I wrote a thing on my blog, and by the way, my blog is cupojoe.blogspot.com, cupofjoe.blogspot.com. I wrote a thing on there a while back, a phony news article about, what I did was I gave the actual event, you know, and it wasn't true, but it just this is an event that would happen, and this is how the press would cover it. And the event was that during a press conference, George W. Bush pulled a reporter out of the White House press corps, put a gun to his head, and blew his brains out. That was what had actually happened as far as telling the story is concerned, okay? And then I said this is how the press would report it. They would say that there were conflicting stories about what happened. And, you know, the right-wingers would be like, you know, well, if that's really what happened, then, you know, it proves what a bold guy he is, that he would just go there and do that. Because there are people out there willing to defend anything, absolutely anything, George W. Bush does. And the Republican Party. And their financial backers. Everything's okay for them. The law doesn't apply for them. And that, of course, is the essence of conservatism. The essence of conservatism is maintaining a system where some people can do whatever they want and the rest of us have to follow the law because we're powerless to change the law. Conservatives, ladies and gentlemen, the conservatives were for the British during the Revolutionary War. The conservatives were pro-slavery. The conservatives were against giving working people any kind of consideration in terms of pay or hours worked. The conservatives, ladies and gentlemen, have been wrong on every single major issue in this country since its beginning. They've been on the wrong side of history. And the only reason that there are any remaining is because one thing that they're good at is grabbing money and grabbing power. Stealing it is really what they do. They excel at that. And because they have so much, and because they're willing to invest it in media organizations, magazines, anything to keep the message out, is the only reason they've been able to maintain, you know, that and scaring the hell out of people. In the 50s, it was communism, because, you know, the New Deal proved everything they had said about government intervention in economics wrong. The New Deal just proved them wrong. So they said, well, if you don't vote for us, the communists will be in charge. I'm Joe McCarthy, and he's a communist. And, of course, that went all through. And we were so paranoid about that. I mean, you look at some of the stuff that happened as a result of that paranoia. People talk about, you know, the In God We Trust on the bills. You know, that didn't happen until the 50s. In God We Trust on the bills and the coins. The phrase "under God and our pledge" didn't show up until the 1950s. The Pledge of Allegiance. They make a big deal about under God, under God. God wants us, boy. God, you know, if God wants us so much, why are we getting our asses kicked in Iraq? That's what I want to know. Who was it that said it's not the question of is God on our side? The question is, are we on God's side? And you know, I'm an agnostic, I'm an atheist, I'm not an atheist, I'm an agnostic. I'm like, you know, does God exist, does God not exist? I don't know. But when you bring God into politics, it always sucks. That's as simple as way as I can put it. Hang on a second. I need to get more water. And frankly, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what scares me most. The ones who scream war and refuse to go out and fight, or the ones that go out there and see the stupid movie 300 and say, oh, I gotta go fight now, oh, I gotta go kill somebody. Anyway, half the show's over. Give me a call if you want to talk. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4 head on. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Okay, and we're back on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Last half hour here. Last chance to, almost your last chance to get a call in. 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. I was listening to that advertisement for Guy James, and I was under the impression that Guy James had left. I'll have to listen in later on to see if he's doing a live show or a rerun. But if he's staying, I'm glad he's staying. Because, you know, all of us here in the Head On Network, ladies and gentlemen, we don't do this for money. I mean, we would like eventually to get, you know, investors, and you know, that day will come. I'm certain that day will come because we all do such wonderful jobs here. We can't imagine anybody ignoring us for that long. But we do this, as I've said time and time again, we do this because we feel compelled to do this. Because it's important for someone to speak truth to power, however, and you know, to be perfectly honest, I really don't care much for that statement, but that's all right. Somebody's got to speak out. Somebody's just got to kind of say, this is wrong, and not everybody in the country is buying it. In fact, most of the people in the country are not buying the BS. The only reason things are continuing is because the ones that control the apparatus still have control of the apparatus. Now, our good friend Ray Hinckley from unreportednews.net, he asked a question in the chat room during the break. And by the way, you get in the chat room by going to the Head On Radio Network, headonradionetwork.com. Scroll down and to the on the main page, scroll down to the right, you'll see a little chat room link. Just click on that, and that'll take you right to the chat room there. Because I was talking about, you know, the communist witch hunts. And you know, and like I said, we were so paranoid about it. I mentioned this the other day. The Cincinnati Reds, the oldest baseball team in existence, by the way, and the longest, the oldest one, and the one that's never moved. They've always been in Cincinnati since they began. They changed their name from the Reds to the Redlegs in the 50s. That's how paranoid we were, that people didn't want to be called Reds. And it's like, what the heck is that all about? But Ray asked if... you know, communism so wrong? Well, you know, like any political system, everything sounds good on paper. But I think what a lot of people don't take into consideration when they talk about the Communist Manifesto and Das Kapital by Karl Marx and Engels, what they don't understand and what they don't appreciate is the conditions for working people in Eastern Europe and Western Europe at that time. It was miserable. It was absolutely miserable. It was bad enough here in the States. It was far worse in Europe. And when you think about it, these guys were essentially bloggers. I mean, that's really all they did was write. They made some money off of their books, I suppose, but a lot of them lived hand-to-mouth. Karl Marx was not a really particularly rich guy as far as I know. I think he died in poverty. I think Engels was the same way. But that was their version of bloggers back then. And we had that even back in our Revolutionary War, people who wrote under the names of Publius and Americus and stuff like that. They wrote letters to the editor and things. But the thing about, and for people who don't understand the difference between liberalism, socialism, and communism, economically speaking, I'll try to explain it as simply as I can. Liberalism is sometimes also called democratic capitalism. Liberals believe in capitalism and the free market, but we believe that that market has to be regulated and that there are some things that government does better than the private market. Okay? Socialism is where the government controls the economy almost entirely. I mean, there may be some degree of allowing of private enterprise and private industry, but They have much more control over salaries and prices and things like that. And there have been socialist governments in the world. Well, there have been communist governments in the world, but they're not very fun places to live in, and I never would want to live there. But there have been socialist governments, and some of them work very well. And some of them work very well because of the particular circumstances that they're in. The Netherlands, for example, I believe is socialist. But they're a much smaller population. It would be much more difficult to do that on a larger scale in America, although it is possible with the proper amount of progressive taxation and taxation of corporations, which is the real problem in this country. They talk about the personal income tax. That's, you know, I don't want to say it's a drop in the bucket, but there's a lot of it that comes from corporations, and corporations are simply not paying their damn taxes. BartCop on BartCop.com gave a really, I used to have some really wonderful pictures showing when you compare how much subsidies some companies get and how much they pay in taxes, and some of them actually get money back. And if you look, you know, if you look at and if you look at the, some socialist states, they do okay. I mean, they don't do great, but they do okay. The British have been socialist for quite some time. They go back and forth with it. During the conservative era that began, you know, in the 70s, 80s, when we had Reagan and they had Thatcher, they started to privatize more stuff. But, of course, that meant some hardships for people. You know, here in America, we despise the idea of socialized medicine. But, you know, look at the system that we have now. How good is that? Ladies and gentlemen, I think I have arthritis in my upper left shoulder. But you know what? I can't afford to go to a doctor, so I can't have it checked out. And it's not even something I can consider. Now, communism operates under the premise that the government, in theory, controlled by the people, but of course it doesn't work that way, and the reality is controlled by the Communist Party, owns everything, that the government owns everything. They own all industry, they own all the property, they own the whole thing. And that's pretty much why communism is a failure right there. I think I'm a big believer in balance. You know, as a liberal, I believe in governmental authority where it's necessary and where it can do good. The Tennessee Valley Authority, which brought electricity to millions of people in the South, millions of people who, you know, who use that electricity now to stir up, you know, oh, what did the liberals ever do for us? Ray is saying the Republican Party is actually the Communist Party. Well, you know, there are certain trends that they follow. They're very authoritarian. They're very controlling. And realistically, there's not much practical difference between a few heads of corporations running the show and some political apparatchiks. But what we have now, Ray and everybody else, is essentially fascism from an economic point of view, because what we have is corporations essentially controlling the government, and that's what fascism is. But both fascism and communism have things in common. They're both very authoritarian. They both clamp down on any opposition. They're both militaristic to a certain extent. Fascism is much more militaristic than communism. Fascism is in fact, militarism is part and parcel with fascism. Militarism, nationalism, very extreme. But that's, you know, for people, when people talk about, you know, if you're a liberal, you must be a socialist or a communist. And you know, of course, when people say that stuff, they have absolutely no idea of what either one is. And they really, you know, they just operate under some vague fear that somebody put into their head. That, you know, somebody's out to get you, and if you don't listen to us, you'll lose everything. You'll lose everything. And people fall for it. And that's what really boggles my mind, that people fall for it time and time again, even when it's obvious, plain to their face. I told people when George Bush got elected, who were talking about, yeah, my taxes are going to go down. Yeah. I told them to hang on to a pay stub from November 2000. And hang on to that. And then in 2004, when election time rolls around again, take that 2000 pay stub and compare it with your 2004 pay stub and tell me if you're paying more or less taxes than you were. Hell, tell me if you were making more money than you were. And if you and if I know, because I've seen my pay stubs from both periods, that we really weren't paying any less taxes. In fact, some of us were paying more, and when you consider how much things have gone up in the last 6 years, how much prices have gone up, then we're really hurting because we're not making any more money either. But the thing is, if you take that and you continue to vote for George Bush simply because you believe that your taxes are, you know, you're paying less taxes, even when the evidence shows you're clearly not, I think maybe, actually, you know, I was just going to say that, you know, you don't, you know, maybe you shouldn't be voting or stuff like that. You know, what I'm thinking now is maybe we should just be allowed to kick you in the nuts. One good shot in the nuts. Just for being an idiot. If you're a woman, you don't have nuts, maybe you have a big swift kick in the ass. Just for being stupid. Just on principle. You know, there's a comedian. The comedian Gallagher used to have a thing called the dummy flags, and what it was those little suction cup spring-loaded guns that you would fire, and had a little flag on it that said "dummy." And his theory was to get that when you're driving along, and if you see somebody stupid doing something stupid in their car, you fire one of these and stick it on, and it sticks on the car. And then if a cop is driving along, he sees a car with five or six of these things on, he pulls them over and gives them a ticket for being an idiot. I think what we ought to do is maybe take a big stamp and put "dummy" right on their forehead, and then you know, and maybe stick some other, you know, suction cups or whatever will stick on them. Just have some flag there. "Dummy, dummy, idiot. I voted Republican. I'm an idiot." And then we get to go up and kick them in the butt. So kick them in the nuts. It's been a weird day, ladies and gentlemen. We got our last break coming up here. If you want to get in on the action, if you want to break me out of my uncontrolled rambling here, give me a call, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. We've got a Puffy AmiYumi break coming up, and we'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important, since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back for the final segment of the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, stinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Last chance to get in on the action, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And, of course, you can always give me an email, joe@cupjoe.com. Wait, we got Jeff Allen Wolf will be following me up here in about 10 minutes or so. About 10 minutes. I hope everybody's having a better day than I have. We started out, and I got interrupted by something, and it just threw me all off for a loop. So I'm just kind of, and it's just me for not being totally professional. You know, I mean, I've only been doing this for a couple of years. And, I hope you heard some of that. But as always, it's just with me, it's just outrage overload. Ladies and gentlemen, it is just outrage overload, because every single day you have a new scandal. And I remember when, you know, Bush came and said, we don't even want a hint of scandal. Well, you know, and, of course, he was bringing in guys who were convicted felons to begin with. And you wonder what's wrong with the right wing. You wonder what they want. What they'd be satisfied with. And they really don't know what limits they have. Because, you know, they control the government for the most part. And, you know, what really boggles my mind is that they could have handled this stuff a lot smarter and maintained their grip on power, but they just can't do it. It's an insanity. Everybody talking about, you know, 300 right now, you know, all this, oh, Sparta! But they fail to see the larger lesson of what happened to the Greek mainland. Neither Athens nor Sparta was capable of maintaining any sort of control, because they both got power hungry. Well, the Spartans were always kind of like, the way they were. I would not want to live in Spartan society. I would like to go back and see ancient Athens during Pericles' time before the fall, because it was really at its height. But, it's a cautionary tale, and it's something that Thucydides wrote about 2,500 years ago during the Peloponnesian War. People who have X amount of money will always want twice X. I have experience with that on a personal basis. I mean, I've met people like that. They're never satisfied. No matter what you try to do, they're never satisfied. Some of you have mothers or relatives that are like that. No matter what you do, they're not satisfied. It's not good enough. Now, that's just maybe being nitpickety, but, you know, it's like, oh, I just found $20. Let me beat somebody up and get another $20. You know, in guys like Dick Cheney's case, how much money did he get in off of the Halliburton stuff? And, of course, they're moving to their headquarters to Dubai, very conveniently, to avoid paying American taxes, and hope, and probably to hide their assets, and probably so that these people can live there in exile. Because it might get to the point, ladies and gentlemen, where we want to seriously charge them with crimes, war crimes in particular. And by going to Dubai, it's just like when all the Nazis ran to Paraguay or Argentina or whatever the hell it was in Central America they ran off to avoid prosecution. And, ladies and gentlemen, to this day, I question our ability, our desire to put them out of office. You heard that PSA from Cindy Sheehan earlier, talking about how, you know, tell your congressman to impeach. It's remarkable to me that it's taken this long for it to kind of bubble up. Because if those of you who remember when Clinton first got into office in 1992, almost the next day, there were impeach Clinton bumper stickers. Based on absolutely nothing but the fact that they didn't like the guy. And here you have George W. Bush and his administration, which has committed serious, serious crimes, both domestically and internationally. And yet it's taken 4 years after an illegal war for people to even start bringing up. And even so, there were a bunch of Democrats who put a quash on talks of an impeachment hearing. What was it, in New Mexico? And there's been rumors that maybe that may have been Governor Bill Richardson's doing. And if that's, and he's running for president. If that's really the case, if he had a hand in squashing that, then he's never going to get my vote, ladies and gentlemen. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I don't particularly support at this point any of the Democratic candidates. I will naturally, of course, whoever wins, eventually wins the nomination, I will support. But I am not particularly happy with any of them. Not Hillary, not Obama, not Edwards, not Kucinich. And you know, I get people saying, you know, Kucinich is the real answer. No, Kucinich is not the real answer. He's a nice guy, I like him, but he is not presidential timber. Nothing I've seen him, nothing is how I've seen him, nothing is how I've seen him operate indicates to me that he is presidential timber. And for me, it's kind of like a waiting for Godot type of thing, because there's one person that I'm waiting for, and I think a lot of people know who I'm talking about, and I'll just say it anyway, Al Gore. I want to see what he does. The second Al Gore officially announces he's running for president, if he does, because there's no certainty that he's going to do that, but if he does, the second he does, he is who I'm supporting. And it's not just because of the global warming issue, which he has been right on. It's not just because he's been right on a lot of other issues. It's because not only does he have the knowledge of what needs to be done, he has the background for it. He was a congressman, he was a senator, he was vice president. I like Dennis Kucinich, but I'd like to see him try to be a governor instead of a congressman. Being a congressman and being president are two completely different things. And you can be a great congressman and be a lousy president. You can be a great president and be a lousy congressman. I wish George Bush was a lousy congressman instead of a lousy president, but that's beside the point. That's very important to me. I supported Governor Dean in the 2004 primaries, partly because, you know, I liked the fact that he understood that it had to be grassroots driven, and partly because he was a governor. And being a governor is the closest thing we have to this country of being a president, especially if you're a governor of a big state. Granted, you're a governor of a small state, it's not the same thing. But if you're a governor of California, ladies and gentlemen, or if you're governor of New York, which is what Franklin Roosevelt was, then you can handle large populations. Okay, listen, we've only got a couple minutes left here, and we do have a phone call, so I want to get him in. It's going to be very, very brief, Kevin, because we only got a couple of minutes. Yeah. Hi, Kevin from Washington. How are you today?
Yeah, I guarantee you Gore is going to run. Mark my words.
You're guaranteeing it, huh?
Yeah, he's going to do a Nixonian comeback. Waiting for who's going to drop the flies to drop out, and he's going to slip in late this year.
Well, that's don't compare him to Nixon in that sense. I know what you're talking about, but don't use him and Nixon in the same breath.
Okay? I don't mean to, but you understand the tactics.
I understand you, but it's like, you know, no, it's not the same thing.
Yeah,
but you seriously think he's going to do that, huh?
It's his for the taking, and I'll give you the reason why. Not only because of his background and experience, that's the minor part, but it's just people in general have this what-if factor about him. You know, what if he did run the country for the past 8 years? How different this country could have been?
We certainly would not have gone to war with Iraq, that's for sure.
I don't think 9/11 would have happened if he was...
I'm pretty certain it would not have, because I'm pretty sure he would have taken the steps necessary to catch the guys beforehand.
So that's his strength, the what-if factor.
Well, that's great. Well, listen, Kevin, thank you for calling, and I wish you could stay a little longer, but we're coming out at the end, and I got to say my goodbyes
to you. Well, I have some work to do. Okay, next time.
Thanks for calling in, and I hope you're right. I hope, I don't like to predict the future one way or the other, but I hope you're right.
Trust me.
And when he does it, I'll be there for him. All right, take care, Kevin. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Kevin from Washington, D.C. Okay, that's we're coming to the end of it, and I just want to give my usual thanks to the Cup of Joe Radio Show. See, I just got nothing today. I got nothing today. I'm just all, my head's just totally up my ass today, ladies and gentlemen. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of the Head On Radio Network. The lovely, wonderful Agnes Kincaid running the show out there in the studios in West Virginia. The Cup of Joe Radio Show is sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews, your source for real news. Jeff Allen Wolf is next on your Head On Radio Network stations. I'll be back tomorrow, and until then, hey, 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 get back to work.
I'll lick a spoon of sugar. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of joe. Yeah.
As an attorney probe for wary conservatives, all eyes on Bush. Deal reached on UN sanctions versus Iran. President rejects health care proposal. Giuliani will miss firefighters events. Giuliani Law Firm lobbies in Texas for Chavez-controlled Citgo. The new Dean political plan. Gingrich says it's too early to campaign for 2008. Web censorship spreading globally. Chertoff warns of web of terrorism. McCain draws heat from Vet Group and Club for Growth. World may get greener, then wilt due to warming. Israel not enthusiastic about strike on Iran, says Olmert. And Al-Qaeda number three says he's planned 9/11 and a hell of a lot of other things. Oh, we're going to rip into this one, folks. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.
From Studio 19 in Arizona, it's Jeff Allen Wolf, again on the Venture 3 Radio Network.